They cheered Grant, who was at that crossroads watching them. They wanted the chance to defeat Lee, and this was one of their great defining moments. They would move ahead and engage Lee again. Now, the two armies moved toward Spotsylvania in what was often called a race later on, but it wasn't really a race. No one at the time considered it a race. But the Confederates got there just ahead of the Federals, literally 5 minutes ahead of them. Sheridan and the Union cavalry did not operate very well on this movement to Spotsylvania. The Confederate cavalry, in contrast, did well. They got to the crossroads a little before the enemy. They set up some light breastworks. They fought dismounted, the Confederate cavalry did. They helped hold on until the first Confederate infantry arrived. Clashes on May 8th proved inconclusive, and then the armies poured into this position and lengthened their lines and began to dig in. On the 9th, both sides continued to entrench. The biggest piece of news that day was the loss of John Sedgwick, the corps commander of the Union 6th Corps. Waving off some officers who seemed to be worried about fire coming from their right front, Sedgwick said something like, they couldn't hit an elephant at this distance, and within a beat or two of saying that, Confederate miniball hit him in the forehead and killed him. That was the end of John Sedgwick. Lee's line had a weakness. In the middle, there was a big salient that bulged out toward the Federals. The Confederates thought, however, that it could be defended if there were enough artillery placed in it. On the 10th, the Federals punched a quick hole in the western face of that salient, which Lee's troops sealed. A young officer named Emory Upton conceived and led that assault for the Federals. Grant decided that if 3,000 men could punch through on the 10th, he'd try it with far more men. On the 11th, troops moved into position, and on the morning of May 12th, it'd been raining the day before, drizzling through the night, Winfield Scott Hancock sent the better part of 20,000 Federals against the northern, the northwestern portion, really, of this mule shoe salient that the Confederates occupied. They overran the Confederates. Confederate artillery had been ordered out and then belatedly ordered back into the mule shoe. It wasn't there to participate in the attempt to drive back Hancock's troops. Much of the Confederate powder got damp that night, so there wasn't a solid volley to greet the Federals as they came. The upshot was they overran the nose of the mule shoe. It took an enormous effort on the part of the Confederates to seal the break. Lee again rode into the midst of the fighting. Another Lee to the rear incident. And only by the most tenacious fighting did the Confederates manage to stabilize this line along the northwestern face of the mule shoe. And then for the better part of 20 hours, the most fearsome close combat of the entire war took place along this little piece of works at Spotsylvania Courthouse on May 12, 1864. Men stabbed each other across log entrenchments. They clubbed one another with muskets. Many of them talked about how a numbness set in. They'd fire and fire. Then they'd just wander off to the rear. Some of them said, sitting on comrades' dead bodies, get a little bit of a rest and go back and resume the fighting. Began to rain again. Layers of men were pushed down into the muck behind the breastworks after the battle. When the people came to bury bodies, they found in some places four or even five layers of dead men pushed into this mire behind the works. The volume of fire was so great that a grove of trees was literally shot to pieces behind this little arc of the Confederate works. A 22-inch oak tree was felled completely by musketry. You can see the stump of it at the Smithsonian even today. In the end, Lee was able to hang on long enough to construct a new line of works south of the mule shoe, and his hollow-eyed veterans stumbled back to that line long after midnight on May 12th. All told, the fighting would continue at Spotsylvania for several more days. There'd be more Union assaults on the 18th, a Confederate counterattack on the 19th, and then the armies would finally march away. Another 18,000 casualties for Grant, another 12,000 for Lee. Staggering losses, two huge battles, one right after the other, with enormous losses both in officers and men. The manpower-starved Confederates certainly could not continue to incur these kinds of casualties. And the bad news wasn't just what happened in terms of casualties at Spotsylvania, because on May 12th, while that vicious fighting at the Mule Shoe and Bloody Angle was taking place. Jeb Stuart was killed in a cavalry battle at Yellow Tavern outside Richmond. Philip Sheridan had mounted a raid against Richmond. Stuart had gotten in front of the Federals in the Confederate capital. He was mortally wounded in fighting outside Richmond. So more bad news for the Confederate High Command. On May 20th, Grant issued orders to continue his movement southward. He's still not going to be put off by the second of these massive battles. Continue the pressure, continue the movement southward, he said. And on the 20th and 21st, the armies marched away from the hideous battlefields at Spotsylvania. So it was a new kind of war. Continuous action, continuous fighting, not a big battle, then a period of refitting and remaneuvering, and then another battle, but a battle, a very brief period of maneuvering, and then another battle. A greatly changed officer corps on each side, many casualties. As Grant moved south now, he knew that Butler and Siegel had failed. He knew the burden was more on him than ever. And next time we will follow the next chapter in the saga of his confrontation with Lee during the Overland campaign.
I hope you've enjoyed these lectures from our Great Courses on Tape series. To order your next course, call our customer service representatives at 1-800-TEACH-12. That's 1-800-832-2412.